White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 520.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins!
Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment, as always, in association with TheWarEagleReader.com, and of course, people like you there listening, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, you are our Patreon.com family. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
Yes, John, you were there, yes. And we are back. We had a week off, stuff going on as always, but we took a little, we don't take many weeks off these days, but we did take one off, but we're back. So I did actually get to be in Alabama on our last normal Wishbone day. So that was, you know, at least nice to be down there again. It wasn't for a great reason, had a funeral, but I have been to Alabama and back since last we spoke, and it is still there. So we know that. Always got to make sure that it's still there. How are you doing?
Did your visit to Alabama give you any insight into the coaching staff or the schedule or anything else?
No, but it gave me a little bit of an insight as to what people on the street, and by people on the street, I mean like my sister, my brother and my stepbrother, you know, other people like that, what they're thinking and what they're talking about. And what they're still talking about is, what do you think about hiring Brian Harsin? So they still haven't all moved past. In other words, it's still kind of a new thing to a lot of people. You know, you and I kind of said, huh, okay, and we move on to analyzing the next thing, the assistant coaches or the players that are leaving or coming back. You know, we've kind of like put in the history book and closed the volume on him being hired. But believe me, there are plenty of people in the Auburn family out there that are still like, what do you think about this hire? You know, is this a good one? What do you think? So he's going to, I think, have to put a season in the books before we even begin to get an overall sense, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's just not a lot of conclusions to be drawn yet, other than that he's hired a pretty good assistant coaching staff, I think.
Yeah, but you don't know a head coach until you watch them coach a bunch of games.
Yep.
And then you get a real sense of them as a coach, and we won't have that for a while with Harsin.
Yeah, that's right. And, man, I hope we have a real season this year. We'll see how that all goes. That's all to be determined. And, you know, for that matter, as we watch the basketball team, I hope we get to have actual tournaments this year. Well, not that our team will be playing in them, but it would be nice to get back on the road again of having basketball tournaments. So, yeah, last year was like a shock. This year is more like a mystery. I just don't really know what to think yet. So I guess we'll see. So there has been a little bit of kind of odd coaching staff news since we last spoke. Walk us through some of that while I crack open a fine lime drink here.
So fine lime drink, not a sponsor.
That's right.
The big news was, since we last recorded, that Tracy Rocker came on board as a defensive line coach
and then
left and went to the NFL. Since we recorded last, the decision was made that Travis Williams is not staying, hired a different linebackers coach, and then they hired a replacement for Tracy Rocker, Nick Eason, who's a defensive line coach who's been in the NFL the last 10 years. And so, you know, that's kind of the biggest things I think that's happened. I mean, I think, you know, Tracy Rocker is a name that Auburn fans knew, but they weren't sure. You know, I think there were some questions about him as a recruiter, I think.
Yeah.
Despite being a name that everybody was comfortable with. Nick Eason is a young guy. He's 40. He played at Clemson. He's from the state of Georgia. Has a lot of experience coaching defensive linemen in the NFL. He was Carl Lawson's NFL coach. And you know, I think Derek Mason tried to hire him once before, and this exact same scenario happened with Tracy Rocker, happened with Nick Eason, where Derek Mason hired him at Vanderbilt, and then a week later he got another NFL job and took off.
Well, let me ask you this about him then real quick. Everything I've heard about him sounds really good. I haven't heard anything negative, but here's my question. Why is he coming back to be a college assistant position coach when he's been in the NFL? That seems like a step backward.
I mean, he's coaching the same group that he coached in the NFL. You know, I think, you know, it may be a thing where he sees a path to moving forward as a coach by being a college coach. Mm-hmm. It could be a family thing, right? He's from Georgia. Maybe he wants to live closer to home. Maybe he's got, I'm not sure if he's married and has children, but that's possible too, that he wants to be somewhere, like living in Auburn instead of having kind of an NFL coaching job where you're kind of bouncing around. So,
well, I'll say this, if you're wanting stability and you think you're going to get it by being a coach at Auburn, I got two notes for you. Either you're working for Bruce Pearl, or you get in on the ground floor, because the only time that you know a coach at Auburn is going to get some time is when they're just starting out.
Mm-hmm.
But I really needed my coaching career.
And he's in on the ground floor now.
Exactly.
Right?
That's right. Yeah. I would think the safest time to take an assistant coaching job at Auburn would be right now. Not in year 8 or 9 or something of a coach's tenure, because at that point they're looking for people that'll keep them from. They've just thrown somebody overboard to save themselves, and the life expectancy is probably not great overall. So, unless you're like Tuberville in 2003-04 when he, you know, threw some. Tuberville basically threw somebody overboard every year he was there to stay alive for 10 years, and he did. So eventually he ran out of people to throw over. Tony Franklin dragged him with him. He's like he tied an anchor onto Tony Franklin and threw him overboard, and the rope was wrapped around Tuberville's ankle.
Hmm.
That's my analogy.
That's not a bad analogy. But overall, I mean, I'm pretty happy with the coaching staff. And there's a good mix of kind of SEC people and people that Harsin wanted to bring with him. And
yeah,
I'm happy. I think there's a lot of experience on both sides of the ball too, right? There's multiple guys on defense who have been defensive coordinators.
Yes, and there's at least two other head coaches on the staff besides Harsin.
That's right. And right, hiring a you know, again, hiring a head coach like Mason, who was a head coach in the SEC last year, is a good thing.
Yeah.
He can tell Harsin, this is what you need to watch out for. So I think that's really valuable. I think that matters. Multiple guys who have experience being the offensive line coach, right? One of them's coaching tight ends, but he was the offensive line coach with Harsin at Boise. So I think, you know, there's a lot of talent and experience on the coaching staff, and I feel pretty good about it.
So what's the deal with Travis Williams? I mean, surely they didn't just have him hanging on a string if everybody else said no. Surely they wouldn't have done him that way, right? So they must not have wanted him at all. So at which point, I wonder, why didn't they just say that? It just seemed like he went through a process that I'm not sure I understand. And I don't want to be critical of it since I don't know. But it just... I think we do know that it was odd. Maybe it was good, maybe it was bad, and we just don't understand it, but it was odd. Would you agree?
I mean, only in the sense that I think they were considering keeping him, and they were interviewing other candidates too and evaluating him against those other potential candidates to hire for that one spot. And then they decided to go another direction. I think one of the things that happened, this is just my theory, is they needed somebody to be the special teams coach. And I think they had kind of filled in the rest of the staff without having that person.
Right.
And then they kind of got to the last chair and said, well, we need this guy to also be able to coach special teams, which Travis Williams has not done.
Right.
And then they went out and found this Burt Watts guy who could do that. So I think some of it may have been that.
I did keep wondering who's coaching special teams. It seemed like they just kept kicking that can down the road. And then when they got to the last can, well, if you're taking this job, you also get to be special teams coach. And I mean, it's like if the quarterback coach had been the last one hired. Well, you get to work very intensely with our quarterbacks and all elements of the passing game and coach the kickers. Like, wait, what? So, yeah, that was odd. But, okay, it was just weird. I, you know, everybody pretty much would have been happy, I think, to keep Travis Williams. We know what a good recruiter he was. We know what a good coach he is. It just was surprising. But I guess we will, you know, that's one of the things that Harsin will be judged on is his choice of assistants and who he didn't choose. So we'll see, huh?
Sure. But I also think, like, you know, I think things work out for a reason. I think I could see Travis Williams going somewhere else, getting some really good experience, and then coming back to Auburn one day in a different role. So.
Yes. He and Joe Witt Jr. can battle it out over who gets to be the head coach and who gets to be the defensive coordinator one day, because they both kind of – well, we know that Joe Witt Jr. always wanted to be the Auburn head coach. He said that when he was a kid, and though maybe that's changed since he's grown up and become a big-time, you know, assistant coach, but we can only assume Travis Williams kind of has similar trajectory in mind, you know, who knows where, so we'll see. But so you say we got a transfer from Northwestern. I must have missed that little news brief. What happened there?
So this actually broke during the Baylor game, Baylor basketball game.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday, Auburn, yeah. Baylor game. He's a graduate transfer defensive end from Northwestern, so he's immediately eligible. But he's a guy that graduated early, so he has multiple years of football eligibility left.
Oh.
So he's a very highly thought of guy, very productive defensive end, you know, good pass rushing numbers and stuff. So I think that's a good addition.
Did we just play him a few weeks ago?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, that was kind of one of the running jokes is, well, he looked at our roster and goes, well, they could really use me. So
that's a good point. Wow. It's a sad commentary when you're on Northwestern defense and you go, you know, I need to go somewhere I can get some playing time. I'm going to go to Auburn.
and I don't think it's a playing time thing. I think it's a, you know, he's kind of done what he, their defensive coordinator retired and he wanted to go somewhere different or whatever. And so he looked around and said, where can I go?
And he, like you say, he clearly had a good sense of one school that needed people like that for sure. Wow. Let's see. So signing day is coming up. It's almost February. It's not the great spectacular national holiday that it used to be. It's I know that there have been a lot of benefits to moving the bulk of it up into the previous year. I know that. I get that. But even so, I have to admit, I did used to enjoy the pageantry of the fax machine holiday that was February signing day. You know, that was fun.
It was a lot of drama, a lot of, you know, ups and downs. Like, this guy ended up going here and this dramatic thing happened at a ceremony at a high school or whatever. But it is, you know, in some ways it's much better. In other ways, it's there are problems with it, right? Obviously, you got guys signing early and then coaching staffs changing and things like that. So I think that's different. So again, Auburn's going to sign some players in the, you know, on signing day. You know, it won't be a tremendous haul, but I'm honest. I mean, I'm not stressing about it at all. I have to be honest. My stress level about signing day is one of those things that I've spent a lot of less worry on over the years. And especially this year, like, you change coaching staffs for a reason, and it's not a short term fix Band-Aid thing. They got to build relationships and bring in players, and a lot of the good players they wanted, you know, were already had relationships with other coaches and coaching staffs and stuff. So they're going to get a few guys. And I think we're going to see more transfers like this one from Northwestern. We're going to see some guys that maybe signed with other schools that, you know, like signed with Tennessee, for example, a couple of their signees that considered Auburn are trying to get out of their letter of intent and they're probably going to be allowed to. And so we may end up with them. So I think that's going to happen. But in the big picture, like, again, I'm infinitely more worried about signing day, you know, in December and next February than I am about the one right now, because that's ones I'm going to start judging this coaching staff on.
Did you know, because you have always made this wonderful observation about how fans get so much more excited about picking up somebody on signing day that's like a four-star than the five stars you've had committed for 6 months or a year, right? You have observed this many times.
Oh, yes. I mean, the shiny new toy thing is huge. And so fans want new names. The guys that have been committed for 6 months or a year, they've already, you know, that's already in their pocket. They don't, there's no joy brought to them by that player finally signing with Auburn. And so I think there's been, I think that's a mistake. Like, you need to look at the class as a whole and appreciate all of it, not just the guys who are brand new commitments. And the other thing is, we'll look back at the, and spend some time over the offseason looking at the roster, especially as things settle down. And there's a lot of guys who have redshirted or haven't played in the past that are going to have an opportunity to play more in the future because of the change in styles and change in coaching staff.
Yeah. Did you know, though, that your observation was biblical?
I did know.
Luke 15:7, my friend. We don't quote a lot of scripture on the AU Wishbone, but I'm going to quote some scripture for you right now. And I'm going to do what most of our listeners probably would prefer and go to the King James Bible. I actually teach a little bit about the King James Bible in my classes. King James Version, Luke 15:7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. In other words, you get more excited about that one person at the end than the 99 you already got in heaven.
That's good.
Isn't that something? I heard that quoted on a show the other day, and I'm like, that sounds like what John always says. I gotta quote that to him. I've been frantically Google searching it because I couldn't remember where it was from. I knew it was from somewhere in the Bible, but so yeah, that's just another way that the SEC football is truly a religion. It's no doubt about it. So Gunnar Stockton, I'm supposed to hate this guy now, right? Because he was just a lock to come to Auburn.
It was a lot of optimism, I'll say that. He was committed to South Carolina when Bobo and some of these other guys were there. Bobo comes to Auburn. There was a lot of feeling maybe Bobo could bring this guy with him as a commitment. And Stockton turns around and commits to Georgia.
Why? The heck? What? Georgia?
He's from Georgia, right?
Yeah, but how many high-quality, highly-ranked quarterbacks must Kirby Smart ruin before they quit going there? It's like a lot of them figured out real quick not to come to Auburn, but yet they hadn't figured out yet don't go to Georgia?
They'll figure it out. I mean, God, it only takes a few more, so.
Well, I know, but I mean, it's different when they're figuring it out by guys that were going to go to USC or something versus figuring it out with guys that were going to possibly come to Auburn. It was kind of like he was either going to go to Auburn with Bobo or stay with South Carolina because he liked South Carolina. Georgia just seems like they came out of left field is the thing I'm saying. It's just, where did that come from? I know he's from Georgia, but still, I mean, it's like you can have A or B. I'll take C. Wait, what? Where'd that come from?
I'm sure Georgia pounced on the opportunity as soon as Bobo left South Carolina.
Yeah, and you know what?
They have been putting the heat on him full time. So.
You know what would have been even worse is if he had committed to Auburn and then Georgia swooped in and grabbed him at the end.
Well, and again, this guy's a year away. So he's a year from now on signing day.
All right.
It's a long way to go.
All right. Well, that's a little better. Yeah, he'll end up at Alabama in that case. I didn't realize that. Forget everything I just said. He'll end up at Alabama. Let's see. We got so I was tweeting a little bit the last few days about the football building, but I didn't realize all of that was new. I know we saw the interior design of it about a month ago. Is it the first time we'd seen the exterior or something, or what's up with that? Maybe I'm just wrong.
No, I think there was more design pictures released. There was the early kind of, I don't know, cartoonish graphics of the inside that looked like the Enterprise or whatever.
Yeah.
And then so some more pictures came out of stuff over the last week or two. So.
Well, there were some people on Twitter that were like, Auburn Twitter, that were like, well, they were kind of arguing. Some people said it fits in with campus and that's what you want, you know, because of the brick and all. And others were saying it's just a basic high school looking design. They could have made it look a lot better. It costs half again as much as Oregon's fabled facility, which was 60 something. This is 90 something. I just want it to be substantially better than what Clemson has, especially when you consider that, you know, these things get obsolete so quickly. Do you remember that period probably 20 years ago, maybe or more, when cities were building brand new sports arenas, and like halfway through that wave of new arenas, there was like a new innovation that came along, and suddenly all the ones that had already been bent were built were already obsolete, and they started like tearing them down again and stuff. I mean, it just made me pull my hair out, and because they wanted more suites, you know, and more luxury stuff, and they started putting more emphasis on that. And is this the same thing here? I worry that we're going to build. I worry that we're going to fight the 2015 war and build a great football facility for 2015, and in 3 years, Alabama will build a new one, and Georgia will build a new one, and Florida will build a new one, and ours will be look like it's 25 years out of date already. I hope they're thinking ahead and not fighting the last war.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I think the pictures of the inside and the concept art and stuff is very futuristic. So I do think they're thinking ahead, like how will we use technology in the future to, you know, in the football building to do stuff. And so I think that's, you know, I think they're thinking that way and not thinking about the past in your analogy.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. I hope it'll last for a while since it's costing roughly the same amount as the basketball arena, which, I mean, everybody agrees that was a home run, right? It's hard to believe that thing's been there almost a decade, if not a decade.
It's a great building.
It's so nice. Yeah. And it's been there a long time, and yet it looks as new to me today as it did the day they opened it. It's just fantastic. So have they ever torn down Old Memorial Beard Eaves yet? Is it still there?
I do not know the answer. I think they did, but I could be wrong.
Well, they had to keep it for a long time because so many offices and classrooms were in it. People don't even know that there are classrooms in it. I had multiple classes inside that arena, inside Beard Eaves.
Sure.
In fact, that was how I got to watch the state basketball tournament 1 year when Robert Horry was playing in high school and playing against Holt, I believe. And there were several other really good Wesley Persons team was playing in it. I got to watch some really good players that year, and I got to watch because I didn't have to go in the front door and hand a ticket to somebody. I was already in the building having class, and when class was over, I just strolled down the hall, turned a corner, and there was the opening into the arena, and I just walked out on the court and sat down next to Keenan Carpenter, the three-point specialist, and he and I sat there and watched those high school teams play for about an hour. That was so cool. So, man, those were the days, you know, just walking out onto the arena, sitting down with an Auburn basketball player and watching some ball. That was those were the days, man. I bet you couldn't do that anymore.
But it has not been torn down.
Okay, still there. Wow, that's a good way to get zip tied and put in the jail probably nowadays. But what do you think about it overall, though? I mean, you like it, right? You think that design, that new building, is going to be what the doctor ordered?
I mean, again, could it have been cooler looking? Sure. Even within the design aesthetic of the university campus with the bricks and all that, it couldn't have been cooler. Absolutely. In the big picture, it's going to be a huge difference maker for us on the recruiting trail. We needed to do it, and we're doing it. So I think it's really going to help.
Well, you know, the building that we have now that's mostly where football is, that thing was built like my sophomore year. So it's been there a minute, as they say, as the kids say. It's like been there as long as you were an Auburn student and since then.
Sure.
I mean, I remember them building it, and I remember thinking, oh, this is cool. We got like this football facility with the big AU out there in front of it. That looks cool. And then that was back in the 80s, man. So I guess we definitely needed something. Because, yeah, even with that building, they still had a lot of offices over in the Coliseum. So spread all around. So do you know where they're going to put it? I haven't even heard.
It's towards where the old track would be, okay. Kind of on the other side of the practice fields from the current building.
Well, I remember they got rid of the tennis courts, the university student tennis courts, to build the building that's there now. Because I played tennis on those courts some, and then they tore them down and built the football complex there with the practice field, and they built new tennis courts for us over next to where the old, the Hutzel track is. The ones that are kind of terraced, they're not flat. The old tennis courts were right along that road that runs alongside the football building that's there now. And they were flat as a pancake. I mean, like the ground was flat. You just pulled right off of that road there. What road is that curves around down to Wire Road? It runs right past the football practice fields and the office. I can't remember. Well, anyway, if maybe that's not Samford, is it? I mean, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, you just pull right in. It's crazy because now it's a drop off into that parking lot and the football field. But yeah, the tennis courts were there.
It is Samford.
It's Samford. Okay, so they moved it over, and all they had was a hill. So they built a new tennis courts. New, 30 years old now. They built them into the They built them into that hill, and so it was neat. It was always neat to me that they were terraced. You had those steps, and you had, you know, they were in different levels. So that was always a fun place to play. I played on those, too, a lot. Let's see. What else is going on? We got a new football schedule.
We do. The SEC had the big reveal the other day. This is what the football schedule is going to be for every team. And Auburn's schedule got released. It's a little weird. 4 non-conference games and then 8 SEC games.
That is weird, man.
It is weird.
Well, I said we will definitely be undefeated in the SEC come October. And there's a good chance we'll be no worse than 3-1 based on who we're playing, since we're playing 3 high schools and Penn State. But we're playing Penn State in Happy Valley.
Yeah, it's exciting.
We played them in Florida a bunch. I think we're 1-1 against them in Florida, if I remember correctly. But, yeah, 1-1. There it is. I just clicked on it. Last matchup was the I was at one of those. I remember I watched one of them at your house in Atlanta, and I watched the other one in the stadium in Florida. Fortunately, I went to the one in Florida that we won. That was the Ronnie Brown game.
Yes,
he kicked the butt of the Penn State running back that was supposed to be so great. Ended up getting drafted in the top 5. So let's see. So Akron, Alabama State. Oh, Akron. Oh man, it's not Terry anymore, is it?
Nope.
Oh,
there's Louisiana Monroe.
So Akron, that would have been cool. Akron, Alabama State, the Hornets, and Georgia State. But we go to Penn State. What do you think about that Happy Valley trip?
It's huge. It's a big non-conference road game, the first one in many years. So I'm excited. I'm considering going. So, we'll see.
Yeah, that's the thing. Can we go, though?
Yeah, I mean, again, long way to go before football season. So...
it's a lot closer to you than it is to me, too. I don't know if I can be able to make it to that one.
It is. But it's exciting. What was the last big regular season non-conference game that Auburn played? I guess the Kansas State game?
Yeah, 14.
You went to?
I was there. Yeah, in Manhattan. Auburn went to Manhattan. Manhattan, center of Western culture. No, not that Manhattan. The little Manhattan. Yeah, I was going to say, I can't remember. I mean, maybe Clemson, but, you know, we played them so often.
Doesn't
even seem like they're like SEC adjacent. So if we throw out teams we play like every other year anyway, then, yeah, it would be Kansas State. And before that, gosh, probably, I mean, there was USC in 2002, the first game of 2002.
When was the at Syracuse game? That was 2002.
2001, wasn't it? We were at Syracuse 01, at USC 02, I think. Yeah, because I know we were at USC in 2002 because that was Cadillac's big second year, you know, sophomore coming back from being hurt. And we had all those freshman receivers that year that were seniors in 05. Like Obamanu and Aroma Shadu and Mix. Yep. They all debuted except for Courtney Taylor. Taylor didn't debut until the beginning of 03. They redshirted him that year because he'd been a quarterback. But all those other receivers debuted against USC in 02. I don't know why we skipped. That's weird. Yeah, we played Syracuse in Syracuse 01. I'm just off the top of my head, but I remember this because I was going to go, and I ended up having to cancel it because of 9/11. We played at Syracuse in 01, and Syracuse played us in Auburn in 02. So we actually played USC and Syracuse in 2002. The USC game was the Monday night football that year, added on, beginning of the season. I remember because I left Dragon Con Monday afternoon, flew home, and came home and watched it as soon as I got home from wherever I was then. I probably just drove home, honestly, back then. Yeah, so that was, I mean, 04, we didn't have one. That was part of the problem. 05, Georgia Tech. 06, 07. I don't remember us playing anybody out of conference 06, 07, 08 other than the bowl games. 09. Oh, West Virginia.
Yeah, I went to the West Virginia game.
That was the other one. And then Clemson in 11 and Kansas State in 14. Yeah, that's about it. So that's cool. I'm looking forward to it. But, yeah, man, look at this. So October 2nd, LSU at LSU. Then we come home to Georgia. I got to be honest, man. I'm not sure who thought it was a vast improvement in our schedule to have to play LSU and Georgia back-to-back. Whose idea was that? You know, I mean, I know Georgia-Alabama back-to-back sucks, but LSU-Georgia is not much better, honestly, especially earlier in the season.
Yes. That's something.
Because at least when you play Georgia and Alabama back-to-back, then you're kind of done, you know, unless you go to Atlanta, mm-hmm. but you're kind of done. Now we play them back-to-back, have to turn right around and play Arkansas, Ole Miss, Texas A&M. I mean, it's like you play those two back-to-back, and then you got more games immediately.
It's two tough games right at the start of the SEC schedule. So I guess the only good thing about playing a Penn State is it'll help us prepare us for the level of competition we're going to face, you know, the kind of crowd we face going to Baton Rouge.
We needed Alabama State to be between LSU and Georgia, and we needed Georgia State to be like either one side of the A&M game or between South Carolina and Alabama or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we go straight through. We have a break after Arkansas on October 23rd, and after that, we go without a break, Ole Miss at A&M, Mississippi State at Kakalaki, and then Alabama. Lord of mercy. That's rough. That's rough. I saw that Brandon Marcello, friend of the show, Brandon Marcello, rated it brutal on his ranking of SEC schedules. And I'm like, what year is our schedule not brutal?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. You know, you have a big non-conference road game against what will be a ranked team. You go to Baton Rouge. You're always going to play, you know, Alabama and Georgia this year. It's, you know, it's the home year. But you got to go to College Station, and that was a really good team.
Yes.
So it's tough. I mean, it's like you said, it's, you know, it's never going to be easy. It's the odd year, so we get Georgia and Alabama at home, and that's, you know, supposed to be the good year. But
yeah. Well, I'm glad that Harsin gets that his first year and doesn't have to go on the road for those in his first year, because that would suck, man. Yeah, that's the way Gus worked out for Gus too. He had Alabama and Georgia at home in 13, his first year. Let's see. So yeah, well, obviously we will talk much, much more about that schedule in the weeks and months to come. Of course, that's our biggest thing of the year, pretty much, is our barbecue show, where we'll go through that entire schedule and see how the game's gonna, how the season's gonna come out and all that. So you can look forward to that coming up in the future. Got to talk about basketball for a minute. You had a note here that basketball is fun again. Do you mean because of Sharif or what?
Yeah, I mean, since Sharif Cooper got cleared, basketball's been really fun again. It was kind of tough at the beginning of the season. The offense was challenging. We had problems. And since he's come back, it's been a real joy to watch.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't mean they're going to win every game, because they're still an incredibly young team. They got a lot to learn.
That's for sure.
But it's fun. I mean, they are a fun group. They play incredibly hard.
And so tough. Defense, man. Yeah. They play some defense.
They do. And they don't back down, and they don't give up. I mean, again, Baylor is undefeated. They're the number one team in the country in the advanced stats, like in KenPom and all that stuff. Their average margin of victory is like 25. And they've been destroying Big 12 teams. And at the 1 minute left in that game, like, Auburn's down by 12 and has the ball. So,
And we led at one point.
We did. We were playing toe-to-toe with them in the first half, for a good bit of the first half. So, and Auburn clearly didn't play its best game. And I think – but to go into their building and not get blown out of the stadium is good.
That's a win. Yeah, that's a win in that way. Sure.
So, and we still don't have Powell back. He's still in the concussion protocol. I think he'll be hopefully back in a week or so.
Think how much fun it's going to be when we have him back, both of them out there at the same time. Oh, yeah.
Huge addition. So,
I watched that Baylor game, and I was just thinking, we're making so many mistakes and doing so many things. And part of that was them. I mean, part of that was Baylor makes you make mistakes. But I was just thinking, if we were playing this game the way we played, like, against Georgia – or a couple of those others in the last couple of weeks, because we ended up, like, you know, we missed four free throws in a row, and we let them get on a little run and get like a 10-point run on us, and that was the difference in the game.
Yes.
That was it. Otherwise, it was pretty even.
Yeah, and again, that's a really, really, really good team, Baylor. I mean, Auburn's played Gonzaga and Baylor this year. That's probably the two best teams in the country right now. So,
yeah,
That's I'm not losing any sleep about that at all.
Oh no! And think about this: we look at Sharif and go, "Man, come on! Can you just do a little bit more to just not make that mistake?" And you're like, "Wait a minute! He's only played like seven games. Yes, he is a college player."
Exactly.
Imagine Jared Harper out there after like seven games, and we're like, "Come on, Jared, be the Final Four, Jared." He's like, "Dude, this is like my seventh game."
Exactly.
Just, oh man, I tell you right now, we may not have Sharif back next year, and I understand that. But if we do, we may in some ways have that not going to a tournament to thank for it, because he may, you know, between missing the first part of the season and then not getting a last part of the season, he may decide that just playing a few games in the middle of the season isn't enough. Whereas I think if he played all the way through the tournament, that might be it. So maybe
especially if he had huge games, against big opponents and stuff.
Right, sure. Right. But if he kind of fizzles toward the end, and I'm not saying I want him to. I want him to do great. And if he gets to go to the NBA and be a lottery pick this year, great. I don't see it right now. I think that you can see a lot of raw ability, but I don't think he's a lottery pick right now. He's not, just because of the type of game he plays. Isaac Okoro, with his natural ability and his skills, he showed out over a year. You could see him getting drafted and being a lottery pick, and he's been great. But Sharif is he's not the same type of player Okoro was. He's not expected to do the same things. And in a lot of ways, the things that Sharif is expected to do are more technical. You know what I mean? And it requires more practice in some ways. And so it's like the difference between almost being a running back versus being a quarterback. Sharif is a quarterback and therefore needs to develop those intricate skills that maybe Okoro, who would be more like a running back, he can just kind of use his abilities to get by as he learns on the court. You know what I mean? So yeah. I feel like Sharif right now needs another year. I'm selfish to say that, but of course I think
that. Sure, sure. No, I mean, again, I think he's got to shoot better from the outside. He's got to play better defense. Both of those things need to happen if he wants to be a lottery pick.
Yeah.
He is a tremendous player, and he makes a gigantic difference. And you can see the difference when he's on the court. Mm-hmm. And he's really fun to watch. I love watching him play. So.
And I just want to see him and Powell together so much.
Yes.
Man, that'll be fun when that finally happens. It doesn't sound good for Powell. He must have really gotten whacked. It's like the only part of Auburn basketball game I haven't watched all year was I never got to see part of the second half at Texas A&M. And so I didn't see what happened. Did you see what happened to him? I guess I go look on YouTube.
I've seen the replay, but I think it's one of those things that doesn't look that terrible. But then, and he tried to come back. Like, he was at practice the next week, and there were reports he was going to play. I don't know if you remember that. Mm-hmm. We were playing that Georgia, Kentucky that week. Mm-hmm. And I think he tried to come back, and then he had headaches and stuff. And they were like, no, we're shutting this down for a while until you get better.
Yeah, they said that the lights in the building were like making him dizzy and giving him headaches and stuff. That's not good.
No, that's concussions. That's what happens.
Good grief. Wow. Yeah, don't believe basketball is not a full contact sport, man. Mm-hmm. let's see. The other thing I was going to mention is that Alabama lost. And, you know, Alabama, don't be feeling bad. Maybe basketball just isn't your game.
Maybe poker's just not your game, Mike. I know. Let's have a spelling contest.
Mira and I just watched Tombstone yesterday as our weekend movie, and we've been quoting Doc Holliday to each other ever since. But I just always love to taunt the Bama fans, but maybe they should have a spelling contest with us. All right, well, let's pause here for just a second because we got a little bit more to go, but we also have to thank the folks that keep our show on the air. And without you guys, there wouldn't be a show. So thank goodness for you. We've been busy putting together stuff you're going to like. For those of you that enjoy On Her Majesty's Secret Podcast, the show that Jared and Alan and I and several other folks, Delvin and Pat and others are involved in, we have a book coming out, and I can't give super details yet, but Alan and his wife, Jillian, have been working for like 6 years on like the ultimate guide and reference book to the Bond world. Just like everything is in it. Okay. It's like everything that's ever been in a Bond story is in, it's like a dictionary. It's called the lexicon. It's a dictionary of Bond stuff. It's called the Bond lexicon. And Alan and Jillian have been working on it for years, and it's got these gorgeous interior illustrations, and it's almost ready to be published. And I've had a hand in that, and Alan and Jillian and other folks, and it's going to be awesome. And that kind of thing wouldn't be possible without you guys supporting everything that White Rocket does. So keep an eye out for that. I think you're going to really like it. We've been hard at work on other things, which slipped my mind at the moment. But we've got a lot of things going on. But anyway, we couldn't do any of these things without you guys. So for as little as $1 a month, you can join the ranks of the AU Wishbone family, the White Rocket family, and help bring these things to life. We always thank the folks who are doing that, and they currently include Carl Von Drunker, Samuel Salvatore, and Christopher Burleson, and Chris and Clinton Stewart. And then we have to thank, in addition to them, Bart Lindsay, Bradley Blackman, Chris Usher, Gary Grant, Logan Chilton, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Tom Anderson, Willie Carden, Ann Kangian, AU Falling Up, Ben Bloodworth, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, Daniel Odom, David Evers, David Hegler, Emmanuel Seaman, George Gasson, Jacob and Robin Fleming, James Greenwell, Joel Beckham, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B, Phil Davis, Preston Settle, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Steve Harlan, Timothy, WDE Richie, Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Boddy, Alex Wynn, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Cato the Barner, every once in a while. Hopefully it didn't mess up the audio. Do I still sound okay, John? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Good, because sometimes when it freezes like that, it messes up the audio, and if I had to restart it, it would switch off the recorder, so I want to make sure it's okay before I take that stream measure. Picking back up, we have to thank Danny Flack, Darius Benton, David Simpson, Di Bama, and not a minute too soon, Earl Ricks, Eric Mahan, Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Kinoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, Melissa Blackstone, Mike Finley, Algorithm, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Ross, Russell Milling, Shannon Butson, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Snowdog, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Tony Perry, Auburn Elvis, Ben Amos, Brandon Sisson, Brandon Smith, Chris Como, Darren Pyle, David Smiley, Donnie Reynolds, James Taylor, Jason the Weasel, Skull Albrick, John Stubbs, John Zavachin, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, Justin Bean, Lawrence Kane, Mark Squire, Matthew Flowers, Mick Vigicana, Nicholas Craig, Paul Bankson, Robert Drain, and finally Robert O'Sammons, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, that's the truth, Ruth, Spanky, Stephen Thompson, Trevor Johnson, Kenneth Brent Rains, Brent Rumble, Chris, plus our one-time and our anonymous donors. We thank you all. Again, just as little as $1 a month, though we appreciate more. Go to www.auwishbone.com. And now...
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
Blame yourself.
What do we got this week, John?
All right, we have a couple that came in the, you know, the gap period between our last show and this show, and they were a little bit overtaken by events, but a couple of them I wanted to touch on.
All right, what do we think about Tuberville, and can he hang on for one more year? Not that far back.
That's from Van Plexico.
Oh, okay.
first question is from Parker Neal, who says, "Hey, John and Van, love the show. What the heck is up with the mass exodus of defensive line players to other Power 5 schools? In the past, we've seen players transfer but to smaller schools like Malik Willis to Liberty or Asa Martin to Memphis. This year, I definitely expected players to leave, but it seems a little bit excessive, and they're going to other SEC schools. I guess the one silver lining here is we aren't currently scheduled to play Tennessee or Florida next year. What are your thoughts? P.S. Where are the incoming transfers to offset the players that are leaving?"
That's the question I've been wondering, too, is I feel like, I guess I felt like all along that we would be very attractive to transfers coming in because we got a new staff, you know, and new possibilities, and you get a chance to kind of come in from the ground floor. You're not trying to crack your way into an existing regime that already has their mind made up about everything. It seemed like to me, if I were a player that wanted to play one more year, you know, somewhere else, Auburn would be very attractive right now. So I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's fair and true. I think this coaching staff is being picky right now. Ooh. I think they may have had some opportunities to get transfer players, but I think they're trying to look at the roster and decide kind of who and what they want and where they want to spend those slots.
Okay. Interesting. And why are they going to SEC schools?
I think the Auburn players are going to SEC schools because they can and because they're good players that, you know, are interested in those schools. I think, you know, Big Cat Bryant committed a transfer to Tennessee when Steele was going there and there were rumors that Garner was going there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where'd he end up?
So I think that's part of it. Well, he hasn't showed up anywhere else yet. He hasn't showed up in Tennessee yet either. So
okay.
So it's possible. I mean, maybe he comes back. I don't know. So, our next question is from Scott Crankton, who says, gentlemen, which is more likely to happen? A, Sharif Cooper turns pro after this season, or B, Sharif Cooper returns to Auburn and the NCAA places a postseason ban on Auburn just as next season begins?
Oh, my gosh.
Scott Crankton.
Thanks, Scott. That's great. Now I'm going to have that haunting my dreams and thoughts for the next year. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, there's some dark timeline here stuff, Scott.
Ooh, darkest timeline. No kidding. Roll that dice again, Ahmed. Golly. I don't even want to think about that. Next.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't think Auburn's going to get another postseason ban next year. I think that's it. All right, Van, we have breaking news on are you ready? Breaking news during the podcast, offensive tackle recruit Colby Smith has committed to Auburn. He is a high three-star, 6'7", 315 offensive tackle commitment, and he will be one of the first offensive tackle signees at Auburn in several years.
Good Lord. Well, now I just want to point out before people poo-poo that, offensive linemen are often like three stars because for whatever reason, they have to grow into and develop and fill out. And so you don't see a lot of, I mean, unless you look at the Alabama roster, you don't see a lot of like five-star offensive linemen coming out of high school. But we tend to get a lot of three-star offensive linemen and do fairly well with them, right? I mean, they grow into the role. Is that fair?
That's fair. I mean, and again, he's a tackle. He's not a guard. He's not a center. We need tackles. He's a tackle. We can use him. So absolutely. I think it's a good thing. Again, even if he doesn't play this year, if he's a developmental piece of tackle, that's something we don't have on the roster right now enough of, we could use him.
Amen.
So I think it's good, and it's a good sign.
Very good. Any other questions?
All right, that is it for listener questions. We had a couple other ones that kind of got overtaken by events.
Okay. Well, in that case, let's hop in the old car and fire it up and...
around the FTC.
I don't have facts to back this up.
So what do we know about the SEC this week, John?
Well, we know that, you know, Tennessee has a head coach and it's not Kevin Steele.
Finally. Yeah. So that's the old Oklahoma quarterback, right?
Yeah. Heupel. Again, he was the Missouri offensive coordinator, then got hired to be the Central Florida head coach. And then Tennessee hired the Central Florida AD, Danny White.
Mm-hmm.
Their search kind of fell apart.
Not the Dallas quarterback, right?
No.
Different Danny White.
He's the son. Yeah, he's the, you know, kind of a family of athletic directors. His dad is the Duke athletic director, I think.
Oh, okay.
So.
Interesting.
A good athletic director candidate. They needed to move Phil Fulmer on. Remember, they did the internal investigation in order to justify firing the old head coach and not paying him.
That's
hilarious. Which they're going to end up getting sued and having to pay him some anyway. So
plus their own legal costs.
And then and then the NCAA is going to come and nuke them. So
unbelievable.
They save money, but set themselves back to a point where they brought in this guy. They tried to go hire some big name coaches. You know, they called some big time coaches and none of them were interested.
Tennessee.
And so, you know, they called
Tennessee.
Blame yourself.
Just had to.
Yes. That's the ultimate blame yourself. So, so when they didn't get any of the other guys they wanted, they struck out and went back. He called Heupel and brought him from Central Florida.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's,
and because,
oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. We have a little, I think we have a little delay again. It happens every now and then. Go ahead.
Well, but so he, because they, this NCAA thing, I think it scared the coaches away. They had to give Heupel like a 6-year guarantee contract with an option for a 7th year if they get hit by the NCAA.
Wow. Wow. Crazy. Well, I just don't know what to think about Tennessee anymore. Honestly, this struck me a little bit like us hiring Harsin. They kind of got fed up with what they'd been doing and just went way out of the box. Because I didn't see this coming.
No, I think a lot of people didn't see it coming. But I think they tried to go cheap by doing this investigation to get rid of the other guy. And it bit them.
Yeah, it did.
You know, I think they would have been a much more attractive job if they had paid Pruitt to go away. Instead of, you know, inviting the NCAA to give him penalties for a couple of years.
I can just see the powers that be, the big money guys at Auburn going, you mean Gus didn't do nothing? He ain't done nothing bad? Come on now, run a white glove around there. He ain't done nothing? I can't believe it.
Well, but I mean, it's a thing of like, we want to win. So we weren't going to play that game because, A, you're going to lose anyhow. They're going to get sued and they're going to have to pay Jeremy Pruitt anyhow. And then even though you're going to be forced to pay him by court, you're going to go on NCAA probation and they're going to take away some scholarships and recruiting visits and stuff. And that's going to hurt you on the field over the next couple of years.
You know, nothing really sums up how our luck has gone, how Alabama's luck has gone the last few years. And the fact that we play Georgia every year, they play Tennessee every year. And look at Georgia and look at Tennessee. I mean, you know.
Come on, man.
It's just unfair. They got enough advantage. They don't need that their other big rival is crap. And our other big rival is the other big team in the SEC the last few years. It's just our luck, man. That's our luck. That is our luck, and that is theirs. What happened at Florida? Who was their offensive coordinator? I don't even remember. I always just think of Mullen as kind of doing his own coordinating.
Yeah, no, the guy they hired was Brian Johnson, who was actually – he worked for Urban Meyer. He was a running back for Urban Meyer, Utah. I don't know if you remember that team. But,
oh, right.
He was a really good offensive coordinator, well thought of, and he got hired by the Philadelphia Eagles, the NFL. So.
Well,
I do think that'll help hurt Florida a little bit.
That's fine with me. I don't mind them getting hurt. And LSU hired new offensive and defensive coordinators. Now, there's a lot of talk going on about who they might end up being. So who they end up getting?
Not anybody you've ever heard of.
Wow. Okay.
And it doesn't mean they're bad, but I think, you know, last year they went out and got guys that were kind of names, right? Had college coaching experience that Coach O knew. Mm-hmm. And this year they went back and said, okay, in 2019, what worked?
Yeah.
Well, we had that guy from the NFL, Brady, that did all that cool stuff. So then they went and asked Joe Brady, who should we hire that's like you on these NFL assistants? And they hired that guy. And then they,
wow.
On the defensive side, they literally went back and said, who's, you know, forget this. They paid the idiot to go away from last year.
Yeah.
And they said, who is somebody that's like our ex-defensive coordinator, Aranda, that went to Baylor as the head coach, you know, that plays the same kind of style he did, is more of a cerebral guy. And they found that guy and hired him. That guy's name is Durante Jones. And like the offensive coordinator's name is Jake Peets.
Yeah, you're right. I've never heard of him.
Yeah. So, again, they're not guys you'd have heard of that would have made a big difference. But there has been a big turnover on the staff there. It's a big difference from where the staff was, you know, a couple years ago. I mean, again, our guy that was the, you know, Insminger retired, a couple other guys retired. And so it's different.
Well, there was a big turnover on their roster, and now there's a big turnover on their staff. It's not even the, you know, it doesn't even look like the same football program is 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the idea that they're I like the idea that their hiring committee for their offensive coordinator was a former offensive coordinator.
I just think it just shows that they're desperate to recreate 2019 instead of like what would be really good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. It's like me hoping every year that that we would have 2013's offense again, and it just wasn't going to happen. It just wasn't going to happen. I could wish it and hope, but no.
No, and they're doing that same thing. They're chasing that.
Exactly. You get to chasing, and you just, yeah. Now, of course, turn around and they suddenly come out and explode on us. We'll be eating our words, and that could happen, but I doubt it. Because, I think they're fighting the last war, you know, so we'll see. All right. Well, that gets us to the end of our agenda for this week. Anything else we want to talk about before we wrap up?
No, other than, hey, you know, we're in the depths of the off season and winter. We got basketball signing day. We got some things to look forward to in the off season. So, you know.
And I did mention one interesting thing we could talk about. There have been some seasons that were kind of odd and interesting and cool, and strange things happened. And, you know, we had a lot of success, I think, this past spring when there was literally nothing going on and we had nothing to talk about. And so we did a lot of like feature shows on, like we did a battle of 2004 versus 2010 and all that. And I was thinking it might be interesting to pick some because we also looked at some games. We like broke down some big games. It might be interesting to break down some seasons and like what happened, what went wrong, what went right. We kind of touched on that and we believed, but you know, we might could find some new things to talk about. Like I was talking on Twitter about all the weird twists and turns that 2002 took. So we might want to find a couple of those as, you know, we get into. But again, hopefully basketball season will continue a bit longer, and then obviously we won't be able to play in the tournament, but we'll be doing our pick'em, the NCAA tournament bracket. And, you know, so maybe this summer we can look into that some too. So, all right. Well, I reckon with that being said, our time is up. We thank you for yours. Where are you, John?
Where are you, man?
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @auwishbone and at facebook.com/auwishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.